Hello, lovely builders. Today we have Nicole Jacobs of Nicole Jacobs Buyer Advocates. She is amazing. You might have seen her on the block bidding for her purchases. Today she goes through the ins and outs of purchasing a property, how a buyer's agent can help you, all the things to look out for, and I guess think about when you're buying a home. She's also just released a book, Sold, and goes through a little bit on some of the detail behind that and how she got into this market. So stay tuned for that just after this. Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders.
Our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Hi Builders, today we have Nicole Jacobs of Nicole Jacobs Property Buyers Advocates.
Buyers Advocates, Nicole Jacobs Property, yes, correct.
We thought we'd start with her journey in property, why she's super excited, and why are you helping so many people in this area?
Well, thank you for having me. So I'm a big believer in sharing and also being able to help people. And if I can help one person buy better, for instance, with my book Sold, then I feel that I've actually done something for somebody, because not everybody's going to engage our services. So property journey started nearly 20 years ago. Next year, it'll be 20 years with the traditional selling process. So selling at a traditional small agency, looking after people's sales, working with a lot of very experienced people.
So you were a real estate agent?
Real estate agent, yes, yes. Just had my agent's rep at the time, which is a 2-week course, amazingly, and then worked through various different offices, whether it would be off the plan sales at Docklands or traditional sales of the family home. Then I was actually encouraged to look after some of the buyers coming through the door, because the big listing agents actually weren't able to look after them. And so I jumped on that, and herein lies my new career as a buyer's agent, because I actually loved being on that side of the transaction. It was very different. They really did want me sitting in their lounge room talking to me about the market and how they could buy better. And that's where I sort of fell into my place of being a buyer's advocate, and then started my own company to do so.
Yeah, so for people who don't know kind of what a buyer's advocate does and how they help, can you maybe give us a rundown on that?
Oh, absolutely. And it's becoming more and more popular to have somebody that actually is on your side. So as a buyer's advocate, I represent the buyer, and I'm totally on their side through the whole transaction process. 90% of the people, or 99% of people, actually use a selling agent to sell their property. Very few people try and do it themselves. And if they do, they realise that it's actually not as easy as they think.
Really not.
And so becoming more popular is that you have someone on your side to buy. So in essence, what we do is that we like to provide our clients with as much information as possible to make an educated decision. So I'll never push somebody to buy a property, but once I have their brief, so we will look at, and traditionally we buy people's dream homes. So we'll look at how many bedrooms they want, how they live, how many bathrooms, off-street parking, obviously where do they want to be, what suburb. So we get a great idea of what our clients are looking for, and then we go out and we search for that property. So we do a lot of the legwork. We have a lot of contacts, obviously, with all of the sales agents to find any off markets. We obviously look at on markets and anything that might be a pre-market property. So the agents have listed it, they do intend to go and put it on market, but we get to have the first look at it, and sometimes we get the first opportunity to buy that before it's even hit the market. We do a lot of due diligence around that buying process, so that a lot of people will turn up to an auction, or they'll go into a private sale negotiation and really not know where that property sits price-wise. So it's really important, because a lot of people come to us and say, we missed missed out on such and such, and they missed out on it because they felt it was going too high price-wise, whereas in hindsight, they realized it was actually a good buy. Now, to realize it's a good buy, you actually have to know where it sits in the marketplace. And so part of our job is to always look at that property, look at the land component, or look if it's a big apartment, look at that per square meter rate in the area, compare it to something that's very similar to it, properties that are not as good and properties that are better than, so that we can give them a really good picture of where we think it sits. And then, of course, there's emotion attached to that too. So the market might say it's worth $1 million, but we know on auction day, people are going to be very excited about this property because it's in a great street, it's got a really good floor plan, and we just know that it's been popular with our interaction with the agent. So we then factor in where could it go on an emotional level. And as long as they know that it's emotional buying and they're happy to go to that, then they feel confident to buy it. If they didn't know any of that, they might pull out at 950, for instance, and actually not even be in the running. So we have a look at that. We coordinate building and pest inspections because a lot of people will buy a car and they'll spend a lot of time looking at that car or even a fridge, but they'll spend 15 minutes walking through a property, make a decision.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Make a decision to buy it based on that 15-minute inspection and that gut feel, and they won't even have the contracts looked at, for instance. So we'll coordinate that as well for them so that they know that moving forward, they've done everything. We'll make sure they've got their finance ready because, again, a lot of people bid at auction and they don't even have their finance ready. And then all of a sudden they find themselves buying the property and then they think, oh, actually, I don't have my finance organized. Well, it can take a long time, especially if you work for yourself and you're trying to prove your income. So you need to have a broker that can actually work really with you again on your side to find multiple lenders that will suit your way of living and the way that you bring your money in as well.
So obviously because you're so experienced in this, you've got a team of people set up that you can say, look, you can use anyone you want or you can use someone we've already vetted and understands the process. And I know for me the difference between going to the bank and getting in a broker who understands my situation and is on my side was the difference between being able to buy and not being able to buy.
Absolutely. It's so important. Having a group of professionals, because as you said, we've been doing it for so long, to be able to say, yeah, and we will never push one person over another, but look, we use these people and I can tell you now, if they don't perform in my circle of professionals, they don't last. We actually are able to call on all of those people very quickly too. So for instance, we bought a property for a client not long ago where I actually said, get on a plane, get back to Melbourne, in between them getting on a plane to get back to Melbourne to see the property because I thought it would sell that day, which it did that night to us. But we were able to ring one solicitor. He was actually at the races and he had had something to drink. So I said, don't worry, enjoy. Then we picked up the phone to another solicitor and went, are you available on a public holiday? Yes, I am. Okay, great. I'm shooting the contract over to you. I had heard a young couple say, we'll have the contract checked on Monday and then we'll come back to you. And I thought, well, sorry, it's going to be sold by then. So having those people at call really quickly is, I think, imperative to make a really good decision, but with backed professionals.
Yeah, and that relationship with the agent where they know that if you say, this is the property, we want it, we're going to go for it, that they trust that as well. With an unknown, and when you're buying a property as an unknown to the agent, there's a trust factor there. You could just be someone who comes in, signs a contract, you've got a 3-day cooling off period, you're going to call off in 3 days if it's out of auction conditions. Or you could be, yeah, I'm going to do it and then not do it. That happens a lot for them. So the word and the relationship becomes really important as well, right?
Absolutely. And it's that trust factor and the fact that we've worked with so many agents over so many years, they know when we've got a client, they're serious. As you said, they're not going to pull out. If they do, then the courtesy phone call is made. They're pulled out for these reasons so that the agent knows. But it's a working relationship where we're still on the side of the buyer, but we've got the ear of the agent to say, hey, I know you think it's worth this. We think it's worth this. A and B don't meet yet, but let's find that common ground for everybody.
And someone who knows how to negotiate as well. I mean, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because the agents are driven to push you up and you're driven to work in the best interests of the buyer and really secure that property at their best interest. So sometimes even just understanding the games.
There are a lot of games. Trust me, I'm in the real estate industry.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's look, I always say that one of the best things we can do for our clients is buy them the right property. And I think that's where people will save money. So if you're thinking of buying a property, but you're just so sick of looking and you make a decision based on the fact that you can't be bothered looking anymore, don't do it. Step back, breathe, think about it, and then start again or engage a professional, because we can actually walk through it with you on a step-by-step process and work out what you're trying to buy and is it going to meet your long-term needs, because it's a very, very expensive transaction when you take into account stamp duty, you know, moving costs and emotional costs of moving. It's huge.
Yeah, it's meant to be one of the most stressful.
Yeah, you've got money, you've got moving, you've got estate agents involved, you've got other people's opinions, family are a great one to give opinions on whether you should buy something.
Yeah,
and so many people have missed out on properties because their family didn't think it was right, but it was probably very right for them. But you need an independent source that's not got a vested interest other than to make sure you're buying the right property. And I think that's what separates a lot of buyer advocates as well. You've got to make sure that they're on your side for the right property. They're not just trying to get you to buy something because then they'll get a commission.
Yeah, and I think that legwork and understanding what's in the market can be really daunting because, you know, we're all busy. We've all got our lives, and how much can you put towards this one portion of your life? It's frustrating to do weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend, and you might discount something that's just around the corner or a suburb, or maybe even that would take minor works to bring it up to scale, that, you know, because of your experience you can go, oh, well, it's like this and this is why it's a good buy, and have that security as well. Because I think that's, you're right, when you say 15 minutes, people go in, spend more money than they've ever spent in their entire life.
Absolutely.
Change their entire environment, the next 20 years, where they're going, without really understanding A, the value of that home, and B, like the repercussions and what that will mean. So,
absolutely. And I think that, as I talk about in my book a bit, is about finding your why. It's working out, why are you moving? Because some people actually don't need to move. They could actually look at their own home, which they love the street, they love their neighbours, and actually have a look at how they could rework that. Why am I moving? Is it because I need a bigger house? Is it because I need to downsize? Is it because I want to be closer to work? Do I want the kids to walk to school? Do I want just a smaller house because the house we have is just too big and I'm finding it overwhelming to clean it? I mean, it's a valid reason, but you need to sit down and spend some time thinking about why you're moving, because that will really help on that journey that you're going to take. And, you know, your weekends are very valuable. If you want those to be back, then you have to really do it very efficiently as well.
Yeah, and I guess that means that people don't move from the, you know, from why are you moving? I've just had enough of this house, I need to move, to I'm not going to move because I don't have the time or the energy to deal with it, and then living in an environment or space that is, you know, one of the things that I see is people that are living in a space that's got mold, or, you know, like some of these things that affect their health because
Absolutely.
Of light and other things, and they just don't have the energy. So I guess you can help. So if we engaged you, can you give an idea of how that process would work? Is it a percentage of the purchase? Is it, how does that work? Is it a flat?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question, because a lot of people think they can't afford a buyer's advocate, but you can. As I said before, the best thing we can do for you is buy the right house. That's going to save you money straight away. The process starts with a face-to-face meeting. If clients are interstate, then it's a FaceTime call. I think it's like when you choose your selling agent, you've got to feel that you have a connection with that person, because then you will feel very comfortable and confident that they've got your back. And I think that's the first step. After that, obviously the brief is really important, and then we go out and have a look for it. So we charge usually on a percentage basis, just like a selling agent. A full search and acquisition, for instance, might be 2% of the full purchase price, and that includes all the due diligence and all of, you know, bidding at auction, negotiating prior, all those sorts of things. If somebody comes to us and they actually have already got the property they want to buy, then we usually look at 1%, because we haven't gone out to search for it, but we will still question, is it the right property for them? And then we'll do the due diligence around that. We do obviously do set amounts as well, set fees, if people feel more comfortable with that, and we will arrive at something that's, you know, everybody feels like, you know, we've been able to go out and look for them and do all those things and provide a really good service. A lot of people would say, well, how do I know you're going to get it for the best price possible? Well, you just need to know me, I guess, because I will always do that. So an extra $50,000 for a client to spend on a property, or $100,000, may only be $100 to me in commission, which is ridiculously different. In, I'm always thinking, okay, $50,000 extra to my client, well, that's probably their blinds. It could be, you know, changing their floors. It could be getting the house repainted. There's so many things that that extra amount will actually equate to. So we're always thinking of that. I know it sounds like crazy, but I'm always thinking
I think it's the same as selling a house. Like, I think it's just an accepted norm that, like, when we sell a house, we need to use an agent because it's emotional. But I've seen people try and do it, and unfortunately, it's just, it's too vested. And so the decisions that get made often aren't decisions that are, I guess, you know, they're that emotional. Like, they're like, I just need to have it, so I'm willing to pay. Like, there's no kind of held back.
Absolutely. And I always say to our clients, you can be completely emotional about this property, but I'm taking the emotion out. I'm doing the negotiation. So we've saved clients on high-end properties over $300,000. You know, they've given me an amazing budget to buy that property. And I'm like, let's do the due diligence. Let's have a look. Let's find out who else is trying to buy this property. Let's find out the motivation behind the vendor who's selling the property. And let's just see how we go and where we should go in and start negotiating. And to save that much money for a client is massive. And they would have emotionally spent that money because they were wanting that property. It was like, we want it, that's it. And they might be big CEOs or, you know, that C-level that across the board that think they're great negotiators, and they probably are in what they do. But when it comes to buying the family home, they really want that property, and all logic goes out the window.
Well, they don't have time or capacity. This is the thing. Everything takes time. And when you're really busy in your life, when you're really busy running your children, sometimes you just want the problem to be over. I know I feel like this sometimes. I'm actually over it. This one's fine. It'll do. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah.
Rather than saying, okay, well, actually, what's the best decision? How do I get this for the best, you know? And so I guess you being able to do that legwork is super important. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal property? Because I know you've done a lot of houses. So in terms of experience, you've been on both sides of that, selling, buying, like, and so you felt that emotion, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I can walk into a property just like anybody else and get emotionally blown away by it. I can walk through and go, yep, this is the one I want to buy. And my husband can too. I mean, the last property we bought, which is the latest project we've just finished, we walked through, we knew we were buying well, but in the end of the transaction, my husband's like, just pay them what they want. And I said, have you forgotten what I do? And he said, okay, you're right. Let's just take it back a step. So we did that, but doing it for myself, I had to make myself be non-emotional about it and go, right, this is what we're prepared to offer, and move forward with it. I knew what the agent would be saying to the vendor, and I knew what we were talking about.
And that's the thing, like, agents are trying to get the best price for the vendor. They do not work for the purchaser.
Correct.
So what they are telling you may be smoke and mirrors. It may be, you know, it may be a lot of things, and
it
takes
bless
a lot
them.
Of experience.
Their job is to get along with all the buyers, and my advice would be get along with the selling agent as a buyer, but always know they are there to get the best price possible for the seller. So, you know, they might feel like they're your best buddy. Trust me, they want to actually list your property as well to sell if you've got one, but their job is to marry you with the sale price that their vendor expectations are at, not to get you the best price possible and their vendor to miss out on an extra $50,000. That's just not what they're there to do. They have
right, they're engaged to do that, so they should be doing that.
Yeah, exactly right, and that's their job. Otherwise, they've got a conflict, and the really good agents will do that. They've got an amazing dialogue with their vendors and the buyers so that you don't even realise you're spending more money because they're so good at what they do, and that's why you engage them to sell your home.
Also, I think we spoke about this earlier, that you would be able to join us for one of our inner circles. So for those of you that don't know, we run a masterclass which is about developing for profit, and Nicole, you've been developing for profit and moving through your property journey strategically. So We will be featuring Nicole in one of our up and coming months, so stay tuned for that. Or if you need to or would like to know more about that and the ins and outs, I guess, from a more personal perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reach out and ask us about that. But maybe one of the questions that's come from the builders in the ether, what's it like, I guess, being on the block and being in that more public arena performing your job as a buyer's advocate?
It's a dream job for me because I love to share. So if I can be on a medium where I can actually share my knowledge in that space that I feel really confident in, then it's a bonus. And I think that the exposure that the show's given me to be able to then share further at seminars and speaking events and what have you, writing a book for has been incredible. So from a career point of view, I can't thank the producers enough, but they're very aware that I am on the side of the buyers, which I love. So I really appreciate that they have and know that my professional side that I bring to the show is very much about representing the buyer. I love going on and speaking to the contestants about what they're doing and where they need to fix things so that when buyers come through, what my buyers will be looking for and what I expect at that level for buyers to have. You know, it's quite often, you know, everybody knows that the show is completed over a 12 or 13 week period. And so a lot of things get done in a very short period of time. But I can reassure everybody that you don't get a certificate of occupancy unless everything's done well and done to the standard to actually receive those certificates, so electrical, plumbing, etc. If they're not done well, they're ripped out. You may not see it on the show, but they're ripped out and they're redone again. Most of the times you will see it on the show because it's a bit of drama. because, you know, re-waterproofing on a Thursday and not a Wednesday or a Tuesday is, you know, really big. But being able to just give advice on where at a high end people expect a property, you know, to be, to sell, which is what they're all trying to do, is really, you know, I guess it's a dream job for me.
And so your purchasers, obviously, in that situation have options. Like, this is the thing. Like, in the higher end, there are so many options. So when you're buying or selling in a higher end market, it's not that the purchaser has to buy that particular house. They've got many options that they can explore and go down the avenue. So that needs to be the perfect house for the perfect price.
Absolutely. And again, it comes back to buying the right property for clients. So this year, for instance, I didn't buy one of the block houses, which, you know, many people were very surprised about, as was I. But we took through many clients for those properties and they just weren't right for them. And it's not my job to say, you must buy one so I can buy something on TV. It's about making sure that we represent them really well. And we represented one client, but at the end of the day, you know, she wasn't successful based on other competition, and that's life.
But that's also being authentic to your role and to your journey with that purchaser, really.
That's right.
Because they can buy that one, they can buy something else, and it does need to be. It's not about putting on a performance.
No, it's not. And we're not there for, if anyone follows the show, if I'm not in the front row where they will put me, I don't actually ask to be in the front row, I'm usually out the back and you won't even see me on camera, because I'm not there representing someone. So I don't want to be on camera to look like I'm just there to be on camera. I'm there as in a professional capacity, which is, you know, really important for people to know that, it's not just about lights, camera, action. It's about representing the client.
And I think that's shown, and you've demonstrated that, you know, across the show, but also across all of your dealings. It's that being authentic and being able to really work with the purchaser, because you do need someone on your side. It's a really big decision, and it's life-changing, really.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
We always go get someone's opinion when we're buying a car.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the right car? Do we need to get a mechanic check? But often with a house we
just purchase based on a whim.
Yeah. I've known a lot of people.
It's kind of crazy, and that's hit and miss, isn't it? Sometimes it pays off, and other times it's a completely sad story. You know, they didn't realise it needed new plumbing, or it needed a new roof, or it needed to be underpinned. And they hadn't basically factored that into their costings as well. So they're living in a house that might have rising damp, needs new floorboards, needs a new roof, it's leaking, but they don't have the money to actually fix those things. And they should have looked at it beforehand.
We do free kind of consults with people, 20-minute consults, and there are a lot of sad stories. There are a lot of people that have done things like bought a house, rip it out without having the finance secured because they haven't understood the whole process, and then obviously they can't secure it because the bank can't tell you it anymore.
Actually, it's not standing, or it doesn't have working toilets, or it doesn't have a kitchen.
There's a lot of things that I guess intricacies and even clauses on contracts that you might not know about that can cost tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars because
that's right.
You don't know they're there. And look, in fairness, I almost got caught on one too when we were selling a while ago. I didn't know to look for it and it almost caught me. And that's the thing, you need someone. I would say, you know, like it is very helpful to have someone on your side if it's not your, I guess, your happy place and your area expertise.
You know, I will get every contract checked by a solicitor or conveyancer, licensed conveyancer, because that's their job. You know, I can look through a contract, you know, and I've seen many in my day, but I'm not a lawyer or a conveyancer. And that's, you know, really important that you've got the right people doing certain parts of that jigsaw puzzle for you to make sure that at the end of the day you've purchased well and you've purchased soundly, knowing what's going on.
So as a starting point to kind of understand the process, you've got obviously got the books sold. So that's at all good bookstores?
All good bookstores, yes.
And or libraries. Online.
If you can. Or online, you can buy it. Yes, buy Booktopia.
It, so you can start with that if you want to build your basis like that. And obviously if people want to get in touch with you, they're serious about getting a buyer's advocate and really making this move right for them, then Nicole Jacobs, Property Advocates. Buyer's Advocates.
Just Google Nicole Jacobs and you'll find me.
It'll come up.
But the book's a great start because it's okay. The book's a great start because it's a guide. You don't have to read it from cover to cover. It's I'm going to auction. Oh my gosh, what did she say about auctions? Where should I stand? What should I do? Should I open? Should I close? Should I, you know, read through it? Expression of interest campaigns. There's a lot of ways of selling a property that we just don't see every day. Yeah. And if all of a sudden you've come across, you're buying something quite special and it's an expression of interest, and you want to know what do I do, then just open up the book. There is a guide there to help you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, call us. We're happy to have a coffee. I'll shout you a coffee. Sit down like you. There is absolutely no obligation. If I can be a sounding board for people, then that's fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for coming here and being so generous with time but also information. I think that's one of the reasons why we're really drawn to you, is that you are in that, you know, you're happy to share. It's trying to help everyone get better in this really important phase of their life and journey. Yeah, it's huge.
And it's a privilege to be on that journey with them.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming, and we will speak to you all next time. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.